have a we do want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we just pray that the presence of God is just upon your life this morning. And we just pray that, you know, something we say or do will just encourage you in your walk with the Lord this morning. But we pray the blessings of God upon you. We do want to thank you for your, we have a bulletin. Can I use your bulletin just for a minute? I want to thank you for your giving. Last Sunday, in your tithe and offerings, you can see it in the bulletin, we picked up $1,530.21. So thank you so much for your giving. You know, I just pray, here you go, thank you. I just pray that God would just bless you in every way, in every way. So let's lift our hands as we pray the blessings of God upon Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for their obedience in giving. And Father, giving it cheerfully unto you, Lord God. And Father, I pray that the blessings of God would be, your blessings would be poured out upon these people in Jesus' name. That Father, whatever they put their hands to do, Lord God, that it will prosper, Father, in Jesus' name. Upon their jobs, upon their, in their homes, Lord God. Lord, even when, Father, they take their hands and they turn the pages of the Word of God, that Father, the blessings of the Word of God would come out upon them and they would understand the Word and it would be planted deep within their hearts, Lord God. That Father, fruit will grow on the inside of them. They would have insight into your Word, Father. Lord, I pray the blessings and the anointing of God upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We certainly do appreciate your giving to the church. Amen. Children's church. The workers. Where's Miss Eva? She's not. Oh, okay. Okay. She's not feeling well. All righty. Would the kids please stand? And the workers. I know. Amen. Father, Lord, I pray that you would help them understand your word, Father, this day, Lord God. Father, put it deep within their hearts this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may, Leonard, would you please walk with them? Yeah, just to make sure. We have these fierce predators around here. No. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I tell you, I just, it's just good to gather together. It's just good. And we certainly do appreciate you. Well, I know the holidays have kind of winded down. And everybody says, thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. But we do certainly do appreciate you guys. I do have a little cold, so please bear with me this morning a little bit. Amen. Yeah, I got some. Thank you. Oh, somebody forgot something. Oh. Amen. 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 I want you to turn to the book of Revelations, please. The book of Revelations. And we're going to look at verse 9 and verse 10, the start of it. But here we see the book of Revelations. We know that John the apostle wrote the book of Revelation. Now, we know that he wrote it under the inspiration, or it was given to him by Jesus Christ, as it says in the early part of the scriptures. It was a revelation of Jesus to John. It's an amazing statement. It was a revelation of Jesus. You can read it in the first part to John, and for him to write it down and deliver it to the church, or as we have it today. And so the book of Revelations was written, and John wrote it or penned it down, and he did it for many reasons. Number one, we know, is because the Lord wanted him to, and God had chosen him to write the book of Revelations. And Revelations basically means to reveal himself, or to reveal to the people. So why is it so hard to understand if it's supposed to be a book that reveals Jesus? It's because sometimes we know the book of Revelations was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so it has to be understood under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and not with human knowledge. Now, it takes our brains to read it and that part, but it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal things to it and to break it down into certain segments that it was intended to go towards. We see the first chapter or so was written, and it was written to, it was talking about the candle lights and all this stuff, and that's the first part. And then chapter 2 and 3 was written to the church. To the church. It has the seven churches, and we're going to look at some of that stuff, to the seven churches. And then from chapter 4 to the end is basically the tribulation part. The things that will happen after the church is gone. After it's gone from here upon the earth. So here we see John. We know that he was put upon the Isle of Patmos. And he was put there not because he had done anything, any crime or committed anything wrong, but because he's staying for our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, we don't understand sometimes as human beings. When things happen to us, we try to figure it out. I mean, look, our brains are running from A to B to Z to everything in between, and we're trying to understand it. Now, can you imagine John, the apostle, trying to understand when he is taken into captivity or to prison at first and then put upon an island? Basically secluded, because they didn't want him to preach the gospel anymore. But all this time, it was a plan by God that God was going to use, because he needed to be on a secluded place so he can have the time to pin down the book of Revelations so that we would have it for today. So you see, just because things may happen to us and we don't understand it, I understand that. Always remember, because we are children of God, we love God, we've given Him our hearts, and we said, Lord, we will do whatever You want us to do, that He has everything planned and set for us. And a lot of times, His plans may be totally different from our plans. And honestly, sometimes we don't like God's plan. That's right. We might as well be truthful in church. Some things I don't like. But you have to, whatever He wants to do, that's according to the Spirit of God. I have willfully given my heart to Him. You have willfully given your heart to the Lord. So we're saying, Father, it is Your will and not mine. Can you imagine? I say a boat ride. Can you imagine the boat ride? Because it's about 37 miles or so from the main island that he was going to. Can you imagine the boat ride? 37 or so miles. They bring in John. And John knows that area. So he knows kind of where he's going. And he's thinking to himself, oh Lord, have You forsaken me? Have You forsaken me? Gone to this island where there's nobody, nothing. secluded. And sometimes we may feel that way. We may feel that we are secluded. We may feel that God has forsaken us. We may feel that way, but it's not necessarily truth. As a matter of fact, it's not truth. We may feel that everyone has abandoned us. We may feel that no one cares. We may feel that we're just here and God doesn't care. But that's not truth. The truth always comes from His Word, which He says, "For I love you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." The people care, or the pastors care about you. So here we see John. Can you imagine the boat ride going? And he's getting in, he's saying, "Oh my Lord." And from what I have read in different books and different things, going to the Isle of Patmos was worse than being in jail. It was worse. Because there was nothing to cover you from what would come up. Storms, rain, all those things. Whatever animals were out there. Food. At least in prison you got some of these things. Food and whatever else. You was kind of sheltered a little bit. It was worse. But God knew what He needed to get the job done. God knows what's in your heart. And God knows what's in my heart. And He knows what to do in us to get the job done here upon the earth. Sometimes we may not turn to the Lord in certain areas until the Lord lets us see what's in us. And so as we see what's in us, we can evaluate those things in us. And we can say, "Okay, Lord, forgive me and help me to overcome in this area as I put my faith in what You did for me." In verse 9 it says this, "For I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom the patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He's on that isle. It doesn't say how long he was on there till he heard a voice. People, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear the voice of our God. Sometimes we have to get in secluded place. Sometimes we have to get in a place where all we can do is look up to hear the voice of our God that is thundering on the backside of us saying, "Turn, Joe, turn to me. Turn, Joe," and I use myself as an example. Turn to Him so that we can hear the voice of our God, so He can give us the instructions that we need to go on and to live a life that is pleasing unto Him and get the job done. It says, John heard a voice. John heard a voice. Are we hearing the voice of our Lord today? In chapter 2, it says that as John was penning the book of Revelations, it says he writes to the seven churches in Asia. And you might say, "Well, were these actual churches?" Yes. Yes. There were actual churches in that area at that time. Actual churches there. The churches, there were seven of them, was Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These were actual churches that he was writing letters to. Writing letters to. These particular churches were selected by the Holy Spirit to portray the entirety of the church age. Can you imagine? You might say, "Well, when did the church start?" Well, the New Testament church started in Acts chapter 2. When the Holy Spirit came down and was poured out upon the people. The church started The church started. Now you might say, well, wasn't there churches? Yes, there was churches before. There was religious churches. There was all that garbage. But the actual foundation of the church of the living God basically started in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down. And we're in the church age. But the church age is about to close. It's about to close. And I know you kind of think, well, what do you mean? Because starting with the first church to the last church that is mentioned, Laodicea, is the church age. From the time Acts chapter 2 to today, the church age. Can you imagine? You might say, well, where are we in all that area? Well, we've passed up the first six. We're on the last one. You should be shouting because Jesus is about to come. He's about to split those eastern skies. And man, my God, there's a job to be done. You might say, well, Pastor, we're in that Laodicean church. Yes, we are. That's where we're at, in the church age part. Jesus is about to come. He's about to split the eastern skies. He's about to come for His church. It's called, I know the word is not used in Scripture, the catching away or the rapture of the church, to come and get the church. But one thing I want you to see, every time he ended writing to the church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, he said one thing that is common to all of them. He says one thing at the end. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Can you imagine? You have that up? Oh, okay. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church." Who is the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. Coming from the Father, coming from Jesus. Jesus is still speaking to the church. And He's saying, look people, hear what is being taught. Hear what is being said. Hear what is being given unto us this day. Hear. That means we can clog up our ears if we want to. That means we don't have to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. You might say, the church? Yes. Because it says, at the end of everyone, he who has an ear, and we know everybody has an ear, a physical ears, and we have the ear of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. It says, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Let him hear. That means God could say something and we really don't hear it. You know what that means? There's nothing wrong with God. There's something wrong with me. Or us. There's nothing wrong with God because the Spirit of God is going to speak. And He's saying, hear me. Hear me. Man said, well, Pastor, how do I hear Him? We got to praise Him. We got to honor Him. We got to put our faith in what He did. And let the Spirit of God move on the inside of us. Let the unction of the Holy Ghost, that we can hear what He's saying. Because we know the rapture of the church, it's coming. It's coming. And honestly, most of the church doesn't even believe it anymore. I'll throw this at you, but I don't want an answer. How do you think that makes Jesus feel? How do you think that makes the Holy Spirit feel? His own people. How do you think it even makes the Father feel when they're not anticipating the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If the church as a whole doesn't lift up that standard that He's coming, what do you think the world will? This is what has happened. Old Slewfoot has taken anything he can to lull the church. And saying we're going to be here forever. And yes, The heaven and the earth will pass away, but God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth and all that stuff. We'll be here forever in the time of events. But yet he's coming for his church before the tribulation. You might say, well, Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because the Spirit of God says to remind his church that he's coming. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Hear what God is saying on the inside. That we shall never forget. That we shall anticipate the coming of our Lord and the coming of our Savior. That he's coming for me. Either I'll go with him when I'm alive, or I'll go with him when I'm dead. Either way, we're going with him. It says that he's coming for his people. We have to remind, God says, remind the church of certain things, because we can get lulled into sleep and forget. I said, well, okay, Lord, remind me. Remind me. Reminding us that God is coming for his people. And he's about to split those eastern skies. Reminding us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Revelation chapter 3. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not the scripture I want to read. I can tell you that. You see, you know, you kind of, okay, yeah. Verse 29. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Well, this is what I wanted. I'm sorry about that. I can claim it's the cold. Okay, yeah, that's what it is. I want to read. Because you see, in Revelation chapter 3, look at verse 14, and I'll go into other areas. This is where we are with the church age today. The last church, Laodicea. This is where we are at the church age. So I want us to read it, okay? It says this, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. Then we know what that means. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have nothing, need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be with him, and he with me. To him, verse 21, who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and is set down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. That's where we are. Now, the church, as the body of Christ, has never been richer than ever before. I mean, we are a rich church. You might, and just this church, honestly, we are a rich church, people. If we look back 100 years, looking at the church, just the church of the living God, not the religious morphed churches that had started out right but ended out not doing well. I mean, they had nothing. but they had the Spirit of God. We are rich churches. Look at the seats that you're sitting on. Very rich. The carpet. Look at, I mean, you know, you might say, well, Pastor, you don't own this, but that's okay. God owns it. He owns it. And He knows what to do. But you see, we are rich in need of nothing. That's what He's saying about the body of Christ. But yet in actuality, we need everything. We need His Spirit. I mean, you know, we have everything, basically. Everything. Everything. It says this, but I have, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, I know I've used it years ago, and I know probably many other people have used that scripture in trying to bring people to Christ. But honestly, that was written to the church. Nothing wrong with it, But that was written to the church. He said, open the door for me. Look, as individual people, as a church, let's not close the door to the Spirit of God. Sometimes we can let the things of this world get to us. I know it. I mean, they can really get to us. And we can sometimes just shut that door and say, Lord, I need some help. God is saying, repent. Ask forgiveness of all the things that we need to ask forgiveness of. And open that door and say, Lord, come on in. Sup with me. Be with me. Help me. Encourage me. Because you see, the things of the world will use you, abuse you, and leave you on the road. But God will take you, help you, and make you better than ever before. So you see, we need to turn to our God. That means, you know, as the body of Christ, that we're not to turn from our God that gives us the source of the anointing and the presence of God. You know, I've often wondered, you know, why did we hear 100 years ago reading stories, reading books about how the power of God would come into services and the healing power of God would come into there and limbs would grow. Eyesight was given back. Ears were unstopped. I mean, you know, honestly, I haven't heard of that lately. I'm not saying it's not being done. But you see, they had nothing. They were sitting on crates with no air condition, no heat, no carpet. Azusa Street Revival never owned a building. But it says the fire of God was upon that place. It says the fire department was called a few times because they thought that place was on fire. People out on the outside. But it was actually because of the fire and the power of God on the inside. See, Jesus is coming back. And let's open that door and keep it open. Don't let the things of the world creep into our hearts and distinguish the Spirit of God that is in us. Or press down, or smuggle, or take the breath out of us. Don't let that happen. Don't let it, you know, it says in Scripture to fan the flame of the power of God, the presence of God in our lives. That we're to stir up the gifts that are within us. See, God is looking for a church that He can stir these gifts, that He can fan the flame of the Holy Spirit on the inside of our lives, that He can use us at will within His people, within the church of the living God, to get the job done. To get the job done. Honestly, most people are so scared God speaks to them something and they have to give up something that it horrifies them. Most people think God's going to tell them to sell everything and go to Africa. Most of the time, I'm telling you, God won't say it most of the time. I don't know anybody that He's really spoken that to that I know personally. But He may say, lay self down. He may say, look, Lay those things down that are hindering you from becoming what I want you to be. Because you see, God's coming and He's coming for His church. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove the church or all believers in Christ from the earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Now, this is what I'm going to do because, you know, the Word of God says that we're to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And that means that we need to make sure we put scriptures and not take them out of context. That's where people have gotten into trouble. Because they've taken things out of context, that they think that the church of the living God is going to go through the tribulation. That is absolutely 100% not true. It won't happen. Jelaine said, that's good, and I'm glad too. People, rest assured, the great tribulation that's coming, it's going to be horror upon this earth. It's really not nothing to laugh about. You know, I know we joke, you know, whatever this. But I tell you what, the great tribulation that is coming, after that first 3.5 years, and when the true colors come out, and things start to happen, you can read it in scriptures, it's going to be horrifying to the earth. To the people. You might say, well, will the Spirit of God still be here after we're gone? Yes, the Holy Spirit will be here. People will still be able to get saved. Now, they will probably have to give their life. And I often wonder, if they can't give their life here, can they give their life then? I don't know. You might say, well, the Spirit of God will help them, and maybe that's true. The Spirit of God will help them in that area. So what are we going to do in the few minutes that we have left? Because you see, we got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We got to know certain Bible truth. Because what I've seemed to realize is that most Christians, honestly, and I'll put myself, I'm not, you know, the body of Christ, they don't know the Word of God. They absolutely are illiterate. They just don't know the Word of God. And they will base what they know on experiences instead of what the Word of God says. Now, there's nothing wrong with experiences if it's lining up with the Word of God. I heard something on the radio a while back, and I thought it was funny in a way, but in a way it's like it grieved my heart. There was a lady that says that she died and went to heaven. It can happen. You know, okay. It can happen. I mean, there's nothing, you know. But she wrote a book. And it seems like that always happens. They write books. They're going to make some money off of their experience. Come on, let's go high-fiving each other, my Lord. The M&Ms right here, the M&Ms. You know, the thing I have a problem with is, you know, when she came back, she said there was big powder rooms in heaven. And I thought, what does the Word of God say? There were just big powder rooms that she, you know, that for ladies and just to put on the makeup and to wipe and to do. And I thought, that is, excuse me, some of the most stupid thing I've ever heard. But you know what? She'd sold a lot of books. I need to go and look exactly how much. We need to realize this. Now, she may have had an out-of-body experience, but it could have been from her own imagination or from the devil himself, satanic. And we got to realize that we can't just be gullible, and when somebody says something, we just receive it. Now, that doesn't mean we need to be judgmental. No. But what does the Word of God say? Look, this is the standard. This is the standard. Now, I love to hear the experiences of what God is doing in people's lives and, you know, all that stuff. But I tell you what, you hear something, your spirit's going to know something's not right because it's not lining up with this. And, buddy, you know what you do with it? You throw it away. We can't be gullible. And to believe, and you know, and I'm saying that's not right. That's not right. If there were those things in heaven, this book would say it. We know there are gold streets because the book says it. We know there are mansions for us. Why? Because the book says it. We know there are no powder rooms because why? The book doesn't say it. We gotta be careful about those things. Oh Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at starting with verse 13, and it says this. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. First, the people that have died before us, but are Christians, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture of the church. Jesus is coming. It says there's going to be a trumpet sound. Some kind of loud horn will happen. If Jesus blows it, I'm not sure. It doesn't exactly say exactly. We kind of think it might be Michael the archangel. Really, it doesn't matter to me. Just blow it. Just blow it. But you see, this is the rapture of the church coming for his people. Coming for his people. Coming for his people. And here we see 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn to that, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What parent would let your child go through horror? None. And how much more does God care about us? Don't ever believe. You see something on TV, turn it. If they ever say something like that, that we will go through anything of horror like that. Now you might say, well, are certain things, yeah, before Jesus comes, things are going to get whatever. That's okay. But Jesus is coming. We're not going to go through the great tribulation. That's not going to happen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. It says, starting there, it says, But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold you, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We'll just stop there. Here we see that Jesus said he's coming in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That means we won't even be able to think of it. Everyone just knowingly blink your eye. That's how fast. Can you imagine? Look, when we're all going, they could have this place. The only thing I would say, Lord, don't use it for a dance hall, don't use it for a bar, don't use it for junk like that. But hopefully, whoever's left will rise up and do what's right. Do what's right. But he's coming. Now, this is what I want you to see. Believers who have died will have their bodies resurrected along with believers who are still living. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Can you imagine the great event of him coming? And we're resurrected from either the grave or from our human bodies as we're alive and meet him in the air. He's not going to set his foot upon the earth at that time. We will meet him in the air. And we'll meet him, and this will occur in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The second coming is when Jesus returns to defeat the Antichrist, destroy evil, and establish his millennial kingdom. The second coming is described. Look in Revelation chapter 19. Now, I want you to remember, these are two different events. In the second coming, and I know sometimes we get that confused, in the second coming is when we come with him to the earth. The rapture of the first church, if you want to say the first coming, that's up to you. The catching away of the church is when Jesus comes and we meet him in the air. The second coming is when he comes and we're all with him as clouds. It says like a cloud. What they're meaning is there's so many people there coming. And we know old Slewfoot's already defeated. The Antichrist is defeated. And God is coming to reign upon the earth. The second coming. Look at Revelation 19. Look at verse 11. Talking about the second coming. This is where kind of people get confused and they think this is still the church age. It's not anymore. It has ended in Revelation chapter 3. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was faithful, called faithful and true. Who is that? Jesus Christ. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. That's not a good sign when he says he He does judge and he makes war. But you know what's good? We're with him when the war comes. We're on his side. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon the white horse. My God, the saints of God coming with him, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. White and clean. That's the second coming. Now let me just, because it's for time's sake, let me just tell you the differences in the two so that we don't get things mixed up. It says in Scripture that my people are destroyed because of what? A lack of knowledge of what? Not just a lack of knowledge, because we have knowledge. We have computers. We have lack of knowledge of what? The Word. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that if he can keep us away from this Word, we will ultimately probably destroy ourselves. We're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. So it's so important to read it and get it deep within our hearts so that we know the Word of God. We know what we believe because we're standing upon the Word of God and what it says. And we are rightfully what? Dividing the Word of God, the truth of its Word. See, we can know the Word of God, but if it's not rightfully cut, not rightfully given unto us, not rightfully understood, well then we can take something and, my God, blow it out of proportion to what the Word of God says and what it actually meant. We have to study it. It says, what? Study to show yourself, me and you, approved unto God. Buddy, we're lucky if we just sit down and read it for pleasure. Huh? Let's be truthful here. But the Word of God says study. Study it. And hey, look, Pastor, you're getting kind of hard. I'm not trying to be hard on you at all. I know how it is to work and come in and try to read and try to study and pray and get all those things done. It's hard. It's hard out there. Especially with these companies that want you to work 8-9 hours a day. That's a big portion of your day. That's hard, huh? And to be refreshed and renewed and understanding. But God's Word says study. We're to get that Word in us so that we can rightly divide the Word of truth, so that we can know what the actual truth of His Word says and get it deep within our hearts. The rapture of the church. Believers will meet the Lord in the air. You can. I'm going to just give you the scripture and you can write it down. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The rapture of the church. When He comes, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll go. Can you imagine how the earth will be? He will not set His foot upon the earth at all. Honestly, I don't think anybody will see Him until we leave and we meet Him and see Him. It's a private invitation to the church, the body of Christ. That's all. Private. Private between me and Him. Private between you and Him. Now, the second coming, believers return with the Lord to the earth. And you can read that in Revelation 19:14. Revelation 19:14. When God will come, after we're up there, the dead in Christ rise, we rise up, whoever's alive and remaining, we meet and we're up there. And when He comes, God bless you, at the second coming, and He's coming, we are with Him. We are with Him. He's riding on the white horse. He's coming, not as a baby. He's not coming on a cross either. But He's coming on a white horse, signifying victory for all mankind. And you know what? He could have left us out and left us in heaven. But He says, come on, come with me. Can you imagine? People, I want to be next to Him saying, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come back, that my Lord and your Lord will come back to fight the Antichrist and beat him. Well, we know God has already won. And to declare the victory for Himself and for every one of us that has come down with Him. Doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. Doesn't matter what color we are upon the earth. Doesn't matter which country we come from. Doesn't matter if we're old or young. We all will come back with Him. Because we're going to be changed in the instant. We're going to take on We're going to take on the Spirit of God upon us. The thing that was defeated when Adam and Eve took and ate of that fruit. We will come back with Him with no sin nature. Praise God. Come back victorious. Come back the way we were supposed to be from the beginning of time. To claim victory upon this earth. And do the work that God has declared for us to do. And you can even read scriptures, read revelations, and find out where we will even judge. We will judge things. My God. You know, the only scripture these people in the world know, judge not lest you be judged. That's all they know. That's all they know. But God said we could judge them by the fruit that is in their hearts and in their lives and love them. Also this, about to close. The second coming occurs after the great and terrible tribulation. You can read that. That's in, you know that. That's from Revelations chapter 6, basically, or 4, to the end of that Revelations. But the rapture occurs before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. Don't let any minister scare you. These boneheads on TV that are trying to make you buy all kind of food, don't buy that stuff. They're getting rich off of your fear. You might say, Pastor, I've already done it. Don't worry about it. Just keep it. Just leave a note when you're gone. Whoever wants it can have it. Don't let them steal from you. You might say, Pastor, why do you get so passionate? Because when I see people that's supposed to be preaching the gospel on TV, instead of preaching the gospel, declaring other things, it upsets me. It upsets me. Don't buy all that junk. Put your money in the kingdom. In the kingdom. And let's see souls won for the kingdom. Now you might say, well, Pastor, you want me to buy a new house? Hey, if you want a new house, go buy your new house. I mean, you know, hey, look. Just leave me your old one. That's okay. No. If you want to buy a new car, go buy a new car. See you older. See you older. Take care of you. There's nothing wrong with those things. But in the end, all those things are going to burn up, people. It's going to burn. I mean, you know, in the end, it's not going to be here. Look, the passion of our Father right now is souls. If that's the passion of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that should be the passion of His people. Trying to preach the gospel to the people. Because that's the eternity of their soul. About to close. The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. The second coming includes the removal of believers as an act of judgment. The rapture will be secret and instant. The second coming will be visible to all. The second coming of Christ will not occur until after certain other end time events take place. But the rapture is imminent. It could take place at any moment. Titus chapter 2 verse 13, 1 Thessalonians, all that stuff, people. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. He's coming. Next week I'll deal with something else. We need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We need to know what we believe and stand upon it. If somebody came to you and said, do you believe in the rapture? Yes. Well, show me. Could you show them? I'm not trying to doubt. I'm not trying to make you feel. No. What I'm saying is we need to study. Because if we don't know what we believe and we can show it, anybody can convince us otherwise. My job is to teach you what the Word of God says, to build you up and make you strong, and to stand for what is right. Next week we'll pick up another subject. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? I know I went over a little bit. It's only 11:31. I appreciate your attentiveness. And I appreciate you. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, if you don't know Jesus and you would like to invite Him into your heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? So we can pray with you. Just making sure. Amen. Father, Lord, I just thank you that everyone's heart here is right with you. Father, I thank you for these people. Father, I pray that this word, that the scriptures would penetrate my heart and the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you would be with your people, that you would protect them, lead them, and guide them, and help them to do your will, Lord. Father, help them at work, at home, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would build up the man and the woman, Lord God, at home and the children. That you would protect us, Lord God, from the evil one. And Father, help us to look to you, Lord God, our Lord and our Savior, and be with us. Father, I pray that you would supply for all our needs, wants, and desires as the local church here and as local families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, we appreciate you guys. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen.